guys are drinking tea. Well, it took a few minutes till you started, Marv. You didn't have a minion right away. All right, let's look. We're trying our best, man.
Okay. We used to go to 10:45.
Yeah, you remember the old days when we started
the
Rambam at 10
cover.
After 10.
That's what we used to not.
Okay, so
when it started at 10, there was no point.
Okay.
Like,
good evening, gentlemen. We're continuing the Rambam Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Beis Halacha Beis, Chapter 2, Law 2, in the Mishnayim text. It's page 32 and 33. We're beginning to learn the actual laws of idolatry, and we learned the first halacha: you can't serve it in certain ways, and what ways that were prohibited. So now we continue in Beis. That tells you that we have to be even more stringent about this. Beis svarim rabim chibru ovdei kachavim avodasa. Many books were written by idolaters that give you the, you know, idolatry for dummies, like how to worship it, like the book of what to do. You know, take this and do this, etc. Excuse me. There are books written on this. Heich ikra avodah. So what is the main service that you do? Umama semishta. What are the actions? What are the laws? You know, just like we have lahavdol halachas in the Shulchan Aruch of Jewish law, they have the halachas of avodah zarah. These are the laws of avodah zarah. This is how you worship idols. Now, therefore, Tzivon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, included in this whole broad prohibition against idolatry, is Shloli Kreis Ba'is Masfaram Klal. You shouldn't read these books at all. Just for reading. You know, you don't plan on serving. I'm curious. I'd like to know exactly what does the priest do when he does his, you know.
Didn't Abraham, though, write something?
He wrote the laws against it. Like the Rambam's laws.
But not the how-to.
We have chapters on this. We're telling you what not to do. Right? That book is a how-to worship idols. So you can't read them at all. Well, in a harbor, you can't even think about it. Or any matters relating to it. So we're not talking about serving now, just reading. I'm curious to know, what do the pagan idol worshippers do?
Comparative religion.
Even just to look at an image, to look at the idol that they bow down to, just get a look at it. Us, you're not allowed. Why? Shenemar, the Torah says an all-inclusive prohibition. Al tifnu el ho'elilim. Don't turn to idols. Right? So what does it mean? Don't turn to idols. Right? It's saying anything, turn to it. Doesn't mean you serve it. It says don't turn to it. So reading would be turning to it. Ube'inyan hazeh nemar, regarding this topic, it says, upen tidrosh l'Elohim, lest you seek out their gods. Lay more, say, Eich yavodu, how do I serve it? Meaning to say, shol tishal derech avodas eichi, don't ask, what's its service? Even though you don't plan on serving it. You can't say, well, I'm just curious, I want to go into church and see what they do. I'd like to just learn, what is very interesting, what are they doing? You know, we take an animal and shechna now in the base of Megdash, and Chveis, they take a water and sprinkle and this and that. It's a very interesting service. I was very happy to see it. Right? Shadavar Zek is doing that alone, Gorim Lihipana Sacharel. That's going to cause you to turn after it, to interest yourself in it. And then, Velasos Kamoshe Mosin. Then you're going to do like they're doing. Shinemar, because the end of the Pasuk says, Vesakam Canaan only. Let me see what they're doing, and then I will do it. So, it's interesting. The commentary says, if you look carefully at the Pasuk, how does the Pasuk start? Al Tifnu El Ho Elilim. Pasuk first started, don't turn to the Elilim. To the Elilim. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you can't even go to see them. Because originally, when you're just looking, they're called Elilim. But if you turn to them, the end will be, you're going to make them into a god. You're going to make them into gods. Because then it says, Pentidrosh Lelohehem. It starts off with Elilim. Don't turn to Elilim. But it'll end off being you searching out the Elohim. You'll turn the Elil. In other words, the way you say, oh, it's an idol, I don't believe in it. But it'll eventually become, you'll be searching out their gods. And you will be serving their gods. It won't be an Elil, you know, it's their Getchkes. Let me just see their Getchkes. Right? But then, if you're going to look enough, you're going to say, oh, it's Taka God. I think I'm going to serve it. That's what we're worried. Once you get a look at it, the slippery slope, right? You have to be careful. You could turn and hit to that slippery slope. So for example, I don't know. I've never been to a non-Jewish funeral. Let's say if they do a funeral in a church, you know, I am sure they do some avoid over there. No, they must do something over there. I've never been there. But you don't see it after chveis. The father goes like this, and chveis, if he sprinkles water, it's their avoida. So that's major problems. You know, you got a co-worker, non-Jew, who dies, a staunch Catholic guy who dies, and the funeral's at the church. You know, it's big shilas. If you can even want to go for shalom, right? But the guy's doing up real avoda zara, right? Because Christianity, it's a big machlokas in the poskim. You know, this is what kind of, if it's avoda zara or not, and they're worshiping a god different than our god. It's a big problem, so we just don't go. So that's part of it. Or let's say, I don't know, if they have ancient artifacts in museums. And here is a picture of the ancient picture of the sun god that they worship.
Like the First Nations.
Right, and we have this on authority. This was one of the first idols that they worshipped. And it's there. And you can't even look at it. Right? So that, you have to be careful. It's like,
so if you go to like the British Museum or even in Israel, the museum in Israel.
I don't know. I don't know what they have there.
You walk around, you look, and they show all these different things. And
okay, but yeah.
This was an ancient Egyptian.
Not everything. It's a mummy, for example. There's nothing wrong with seeing a mummy. There's no avodah zarah in a mummy. But you'd have to know. I mean, it's not so simple. You know, what is, if they really held it to be an idol, you wouldn't know. It'd be a suffix. You'd sometimes have to be careful.
A Christmas tree is okay. That's a beautiful Christmas tree.
A Christmas tree is not an idol. No one bows down to a Christmas tree, as far as I know.
That was the origins, though. The tree.
It was, but it is
a German origin. It's a pagan,
but it's
origin.
Not a tree. It's not a. No one worships a tree today. Guy takes a tree from the forest. No one's serving that tree as an idol.
It's a decoration. What about when you walk by a church and they got the big statues out in front or something like that? Would that be considered?
I don't know. I don't think they worship the statues. I don't think so. I don't know. I'm not an expert in the religion.
And you can't be either. Because you're not allowed to study it.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. We're going to get to that in a couple halachas from now.
Jews for Judaism.
So we'll have to deal with that in about 3-4 halachas. The question will come up. The question will come up. You have to know. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Da Masha Toshav La'Apikoros. You have to know how to answer the heretic. So we'll have to see. We'll deal with it. We'll get to it. Just don't have to ask that now. We'll get to it.
But a separate matter. I mean, don't we say that the temptation for idolatry was taken away? So, do we still have that issue?
Are we
still going to really be drawn into it by looking at it? Because I thought that temptation was one of the things that was taken when we lost prophecy.
Doesn't matter. It, for sure, rabbinically, wouldn't be allowed to do it.
Sahara.
You know, for sure, rabbinically, you couldn't do it. I hear it's a good question because now I'm saying we don't really have that type for the Yetzer Sahara. Although I don't know, but it's interesting. You still some, I think in India or some places they do really do real idol worship, right? They have real idol worship.
Wasn't it just taken away from the Jews?
I don't know.
It's taken away from.
But listen, the law doesn't change. The halacha doesn't change, even though like maybe mystically there's changes, but still we got to follow the laws.
So you mean you can't read your horoscope?
That's a different thing. That's not idol worship. That is a different
affair. Well,
it's not idol worship. It's not idol worship. It's not that you're believing that you're not worshiping
the
them.
Stars.
You're saying the stars are predicting your future. And that's a different avera that says you have to go wholesomely with Hashem and don't look for predictions of your future. That's a different avera. Okay, we'll get you on avera, but it's just it's not as bad as this avera. Okay, now Gimel. Okay, Gimel. V'kol halavim ha'elu. All these negative commandments that we speak about, be'inyan echadim. They're all really one concept, which is v'hu shelo yipaneh. You shouldn't turn to it. In none of these cases, in halacha beis, are you worshiping? It's not actual worshiping, right? And that's what we're saying. That there's different halachas. In the beginning of the chapter, right, when they listed the 50-odd halachas, right? So the first one is, shelo lifnas acharim. You should not turn after the idols. And this is all included in turning after the idols. So now, for who, and what does it mean? Shelo yipaneh achar vodas kacham. You should not turn and interest yourself and investigate their idol worship. Now, what happens if you do? If you turn to it in a way that you are physically engaged in an activity, for example, let's say the idol, and it's an actual idol, and it's covered up with a blanket, and you want to see the idol. Now that would be an avera. Looking at an idol is an avera. So what do? You take a blanket, you move the blanket off the idol, now you can see it. that now you've done an action. Remember, this is a lav. It's a negative prohibition. When you get lashed for doing a lav, you got to be a lav that's an action. Remember, we learned that in Makkos, right? So on any of these averas, if you have an action that accompanies it, hareza loki, get lashed if you do it. But v'lo avodas kovam bovad hu sha'asu liponas acharel b'machshava. All right, but one second. Let me. But anything that is only with thought, right? So that's already a different story. You're not going to get lashed for things that are thoughts. So again, let me make it clear. You're only going to get lashed if you do an action. If it's not an action, it's an avera. What if you're thinking, you know, you're learning about, you're watching them do it. Have you done an action? You're looking. You're not doing anything. You didn't touch it. You didn't move your body. You're just looking. So if you're watching a service, you did an avera, but you won't get lashed for it. So now he goes further. So again, and not only in idol worship, is it alone that I worship, you're not allowed to turn to it in thinking. Not only idol worship per se, but any thoughts that could cause you to uproot any fundamental principle of the Torah. Musarman, we're warned, shalol alo sa'ali ben, we shouldn't bring it to our heart. He's going to give examples shortly. And we shall not focus our mind to it. To think about and be drawn after the thoughts of the heart, doubts about your religion, which he'll all explain in a minute. So he's kind of mixing in two halachas here. He started off with halacha is, you're only going to get lashed if an action is here. If it's not an action, you do not get lashed. And now he's saying, not even thoughts of idol worship, but heretical thoughts. Which isn't really, I'm not thinking about how to serve the idol, I transgress, but any kinds of heretical thoughts is also, Torah says, you're not allowed to do this, but you're not going to get lashed, because there's no actions involved in doing that. And now he's going, and why can't you do this? What's wrong if I ask some very deep questions about my Yiddishkeit that are really questioning the foundation of the religion? He says, Mipnei Shaddai Tashalom Ksar, because a person's mind is very weak. It's limited. Not everyone's brain can achieve the truth clearly. And what happens? What if everybody goes after his thoughts, but it doesn't come to the correct conclusions? He'll destroy the world based on his limited knowledge. So therefore, you shouldn't even think. So now, okay, so let's have some examples of the things you shouldn't be thinking about. And if you're thinking about it, you will transgress the avera, but you won't get lashed because it's not an avera that has an action behind it. Kate said, let's have an example of this. What are these thoughts that could bring you to uproot the religion? So, for example, pe'amim yosur achar avodas kochavim. Sometimes he will be drawn after idol worship, meaning to say, you know, start thinking, maybe there is something to this idol worship. Just say, you know, maybe there is. Maybe there's a shtickle power over there. You know, I don't know. Let me think about it. Maybe it does have a power. Upamim yachshuv biyichud abore. Then he starts thinking about the unity of God, where he says, Shema hu. Maybe he is one. Shema ena, maybe he isn't. Let me ponder it. Now, you know, or mala mala, what came before us? What's above the heavens? What is above the heavens? I have no idea what's above the heavens. Maybe there's another God up there or something. I don't know. Mala mala, what's below the earth? What exists there? I'm not sure. Malafnim, what happened before Hashem created the world? Mala achar, what happened after the world will cease to exist? Upami summons Benavu, I have questions about prophecy. Shemihemis, maybe prophecy is true. Shemihena, maybe prophecy isn't true. Upam Batar, maybe in the Torah. Shemim Shemai, maybe it's from Hashem. Shemihena, maybe it's not from Hashem. All this intellectual gymnastics about basic theological questions in Yiddishkeit. Right? All these things you're not allowed to do. It's all akin to idol worship. Even though it's not exactly the same, but it's thinking of heretical thoughts that will take you away from your Yiddishkeit. Now, this doesn't mean to say that you're not allowed to think about certain topics, although you don't have any questions. In other words, you're saying, okay, I believe Hashem is one, I just don't understand what the application is in my life. That's different. You say, I understand Hashem is one, but I don't understand what that means. I accept it, I'm not asking any questions, I know he's one, we say it, Rambam says he's one, it's one of the six consequences, I believe it 100%, I just don't know what it means. Explain me, what does it mean he's one? Okay, now you got to start learning it. It means he's the source of everything else in the world, blah, 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 blah. And now you can ask questions. What does it mean exactly? So I don't understand. Do I not have free will choice anymore? This and that. So, okay, that's questions you're asking within wanting to understand what does it mean that he is one. But you can't say, no, I don't know. Maybe he's not one. Maybe there's two. Let's investigate. You know, let me do some theorizing, research. Maybe I'll conclude that there's two. That you can't do. Even though you're not worshiping an idol per se, but you are investigating very dangerous territory, and this is all included in the lob of don't turn after these
idols. So you can't think what's before Bereshit?
No, you're not allowed to. What was before God created the world? You can't think about that, because it's going to get you to bat the wrong thoughts.
When we did there,
you're not allowed to. That's why the bays is closed on the right-hand side, so you can't go.
This is safer we're learning with the Endurabach on Thursday night, where we talk about the 900 and some odd worlds that were created before this world. I don't know who the author is, and he can tell you. He does about 15 minutes of it every week before Parsha. And it sounds like it's that. I don't know whether the rabbi's familiar with that.
That's not before, that's part of the creation process. That's part of the creation. Remember, there's different worlds.
Okay.
Asiya, Bria, Yetzira.
Okay, so that would be included in...
Right, so that's part of the creation process. When, now, before those worlds.
When we did Derek,
we don't have to stone him.
No. Or hang him.
Okay. I was learning with him.
Or his disciples.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
When we did Derek Hashem, there was a whole chapter about God, you know, being one. And he asked all these questions about, well, if he wasn't infinite, then there'd be a, then what would be after the finite line? And if... You know, there's all sorts of questions. That
his mind is stronger than ours. He can go
well,
through
the rationale. Well, all these questions.
But we're supposed to learn
to
it.
Show the argument that God is one. But he said, well, if God didn't do this, then...
So he's just proving that it's one. That's all.
But he explored all these other possibilities.
I don't think it was Ramchal. That was, you're talking about Chovas HaLevavos.
No.
Ramchal.
Derek Hashem. It was the whole thing on God is one and, you know...
But he didn't do it in a way of asking and not sure.
No,
he's just proving. He's just proving. I'll prove to you it's one. I'm explaining to you that it's one. I can prove to you that God is one and not more than one. But that's if you believe in one. You're not coming from a question. Whereas the way the Rambam poses it is you're asking a question. You're not sure. You're sure. It's one. I just want to prove to you that it's one. I want to understand that it's one. And if I don't prove it, I still believe it's one. Here the guy's saying, I don't know. Is it this? Is it that? Let's check it out. Even if you come to the right conclusion, that's wrong. You can't do that.
What if a potential Chazer Teshuva approaches you and wants to debate these things because they really have these doubts? Do you engage in that conversation?
Well, you have to answer him because he's already transgressing. The fact he doesn't realize he's transgressing. He said, I don't really believe there's a God. Do you understand what that means? The guy said, I don't really believe there's a God. He's in big trouble. So you try and pull him out. So it's a mitzvah to do that.
Rabbi, you have to explore the question when I read in Bereshit there, let us create man. So that's something that has to be discussed and explored. So right away, exploring that particular...
Because it was part of the creation. It's not before creation. That's not before creation.
It's a multiple union. It's multiple.
So you learn the Rashi, and the Rashi tells you. That's not
but,
that
but
way.
But it's something that you're learning and you're exploring different possibilities here.
You're not, because you right away go to Rashi. And Rashi says, it doesn't mean there were many gods. It means Hashem consulted with the angels.
You may want to hear other opinions on that. That's Rashi saying that.
Well, that's all you learn, man. There's no other opinions. That, you wouldn't go to a JTS Chumash, a Bible, and look for their take on that. That you couldn't do. Can't go to Reform commentary on that. You couldn't do that. Because they will give you the wrong interpretations. You go to a bona fide Rashi, Ramban, or Chaim HaKadosh. Then you can, because they're kosher sources, they're not going to give you anything wrong. So what does it mean when Hashem said those things? Okay, let's see what Rashi is, Ramban. Go to the classic sources. None of them are heretical. And you'll have an answer to that. You're right. There's things in the Torah that if you look at them at face value, they look heretical. So, okay, that's why you have Rashi and the commentators right on the spot explaining how it's not heretical. So that you're allowed to learn that because you want to learn to show how does it show the correct shot. Okay, anyway, there's a few other questions the guy could ask. So and the guy's not sure. V'eini yodea hamidos sheyorim behem. He doesn't know the right knowledge that to judge these issues at sheyed emesel vir to come to the real truth. And what'll happen is v'nimtza yaitzei lidei minas. He'll come to heresy. He'll come to apikoros, which is basically coming to wrong conclusions. Where do we see you can't do this? Because the Torah warns us whenever it says, you just read it a couple of minutes ago. You can't go after your hearts and after your eyes that are straying after them. Klomar, what does it mean? Don't run after your limited knowledge. And you're going to think that your mind has achieved the truth. This is what a rabbi say. What does it mean after your heart? After your heart? Zuminus. This is heresy. What's your eyes? Zuznus. This is immorality. So don't go after them. That will lead you to the wrong place. The loves in this love, this whole part we've discussed now, even though you could lose your olam haba from this, it could lead you to lose your olam haba. But if you catch a guy doing it, ain't lamalkas. You don't lash him for any of the aforementioned. Why? Because there's no action. Speaking, reading, and that's not considered an action. Action is you take something in your hands and you're doing something with your hands. If it's not with your hands, you know, technically my lips are moving, that's not considered. It's a hand action. That's what you get malkas for. Okay, let's try one more. Dalit. Mitzvahs avodes kochavim keneged hamitzvahs kulanhi. The mitzvah of not believing in idol worship, that mitzvah is equal to all the other mitzvahs, right? In other words, or obviously the transgression as well. That's what he really means. But since the fulfillment of it is equal to all the mitzvahs, if you fulfill, you don't transgress this negative one. It's like you've done all the mitzvahs, right? Because it says v'chisishku v'lo sasu es kol mitzvahs. If you will err, and you will not do all the mitzvahs. So it means if you err by doing idol worshiping and then you don't do all the mitzvahs, you're comparing idol worship to all the mitzvahs.
How can that logically make sense if you have tabu, tarak, and egukulam? How can you have...
So you have a few of them. You have different
how
ways.
How can everything be worth everything else?
Because there's different... It's in different sides of the coin from different foci. You could say, if you have Shabbos compared to all the mitzvahs, it's got a number of them. You have to look at each one and see how, this one is obvious. If you believe in other gods, how can you believe in any Torah? The one thing, you cannot do any mitzvahs if you don't believe there's a God who commanded you to do the Torah.
Whatever you do is not really a mitzvah.
Right? Yeah. If you believe that there's idols, there's not one God, then who told you to do this?
Yeah, and even if you
So that's like from a prerequisite way of looking at it. If I say, there really is no God, so then how can you do any mitzvahs if you don't believe there's a God? Let's say you're putting on tefillin. What do you mean putting on tefillin? Who are you putting on tefillin for? Why are you putting on tefillin? Well, I'm a Jew. It's my heritage. That doesn't help. In other words, if I don't believe there's a God, if I believe in idol worship, then by definition, I'm not doing any mitzvahs now. Even if I'm doing an action to mitzvah, it's not connecting me. So if I reject it, Then I'm doing all the mitzvahs, meaning to say, any mitzvah I do now can be a mitzvah. You understand what I'm saying? Now there's other Talmud Torah can kulam. So on one level you have to say, it's a good question you're asking. So on the one level you're saying, well, if I don't believe there's a God, then the prerequisite's gone. Okay, now let's say I believe there's a God, but I'm a grub on Moritz. I don't learn anything. So how many mitzvahs are you going to do properly? You're going to put on tefillin, yeah, and you're going to put them on backwards. Well, Talmud Torah Kinei Kulam, you have to learn to know how to do the mitzvahs. That's on the, we had like from the philosophical way, and now we're doing it in the pragmatic way. Okay, and then you have Shabbos, which is a whole different way. Because Shabbos is the ultimate connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you don't have Shabbos, you don't have a connection to Hashem, you're never going to really connect with Hashem. So there's different ways of looking at it. So on the simplistic level, if you don't believe in idols, then you're fully capable of doing the entire Torah and mitzvahs.
Because it never means, which it sounds like sometimes, I'll do that. I don't need to do anything else, and I've done
no, so it means it's keneged. It's, I don't know how the English translates
keneged.
Well,
they say equivalent.
Equivalent. It doesn't mean equivalent. It's not a good translation.
That's the problem with the
translation. Keneged literally means opposite.
Necessary.
Opposite. Like, I am keneged you. I'm opposite you. I'm in front of you, right? So that's what I'm saying. God has to be in front of all those mitzvahs. Belief in God has to be keneged, right in front of every mitzvah you do. I believe in God and I do the mitzvah. I don't believe in God, how could I do a mitzvah? That's what keneged really means. It's not equivalent, is a very bad translation, but you wouldn't be able to use one word to say this, so therefore they say equivalent. Alright? Now, how do we know if that pasuk is talking about idol worship? When Piyashmua, the rabbis, the lamdu teaches, Shebavodas Kalam Pasuk Medaber. The pasuk is talking about don't stray after idol worship, and then you won't do all the mitzvahs. Holomada, that teaches us, Shekola Moide Bavodas Kalam. Anybody who admits to idol worship, Kaifer Bechola Torah Kul. It's like he denies the entire Torah, Bechol Nevim and all the prophets, Ubechol Mashin Yistav Nevim Adam, Ve'an Tzavim. Anything from anything that God commanded any prophet from first man until the end of the world, you've denied it all, man. How do we know this all? Shenemer, it says, continue the pasuk now, lest you err, and you don't do what the mitzvahs are, and then it goes, qualifies it. Meaning, Yom HaZeh, from this day, Asher Tziv Hashem, V'hola, L'dor HaSeim, and for all generations. So it's like you're denying everything that's ever going to come. Okay. But on the other hand, V'chol HaKoyfer B'avodas Kechavim, anyone who denies idol worship, Moida B'chol HaTorah Kula, he admits to the veracity of the entire Torah. U'b'chol Nevi, and all the words the prophet said. U'b'chol Mashistav Nevi, Me'odim HaVesovim, and everything that a prophet commanded us from Adam till the end of the world. If you're not going to believe in Torah, you're going to believe what a prophet says? No. Same thing. It's a mitzvah of prophets. It's the main of all the mitzvahs. Main insofar as that's the only way you can actually do all the mitzvahs of the Torah. So that's why it's such a critical thing. If you don't believe in God, then how are you going to connect Him when you do those mitzvahs? Okay, we'll stop it at this point so we can get a good night's sleep. Go ahead.